In our new series, World War II's Greatest Battles, we chart five pivotal moments that shaped the course of the conflict with military historian James Holland. New episodes drop every Thursday on the History Extra podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/History Extra. Just go to Indeed.com/History Extra right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hello and welcome to the History Extra podcast from BBC History Magazine and BBC History Reveal. I'm Ellie Cawthorne. 2022 is the History Extra podcast's 15th birthday. So to mark 15 years of fascinating historical conversations, we've asked 15 historians to nominate a figure from history who they think deserves their 15 minutes of fame. Some are inspiring people who deserve more airtime today. Others are those whose significance in history has been overlooked, and some simply led fascinating and unexpected lives. In this episode, author and historian Tom Holland nominates Franz Nopcsa. He tells Rob Attar more about this early 20th century Hungarian paleontologist, adventurer, and specialist in Albanian studies. Rob began by asking Tom how we should pronounce Nopcsa's full name.
Well, it's a measure, I think, of how little known he is, that although I'm a fan of his for all kinds of reasons, I've never actually heard his name pronounced. So my pronunciation here may be all over the place. But I think of him as Baron Franz Nopcsa von Felsow-Schilvas. And he is a Hungarian nobleman, but of Transylvanian descent, who lived in the dying days of the Austro-Hungarian Empire and afterwards. So he is a product of that faintly kind of Ruritanian milieu, and he is just the most sensational character.
On that point, would you be able to just sort of very quickly summarize his life and career for us?
Yes, so Nopcsa is chiefly remembered today as a paleontologist. He developed groundbreaking study of European dinosaurs. He was the first person to recognize that small islands might have a huge influence on evolution, so resulting in large animals becoming small and small animals becoming large. He became a great expert on Albania at a time when Albania was still kind of a land of mystery. And I don't want to say much more about him, because that merely kind of hints at what an extraordinary and dramatic career he had. But I would say that the two things for which he's best known is paleontology and as an Albaniologist, if that's such a thing.
How did he first get interested in dinosaurs, do you think?
Okay, so he was a young man living in his castle, as you do if you're a Transylvanian aristocrat, castle of Sachel. And his sister, Ilona, came to him when he was about 18, and she'd found some bones. Some stone bones, and he was intrigued by them, worked out that they must be fossils. And he enrolled in a paleontology course at the University of Vienna. And within a year, he had published a study demonstrating that these were a very, very small kind of dinosaur, duckbill dinosaurs, as they're called, and that these were kind of dwarfish. And over the course of the years that followed, he was a very kind of solitary man, possibly even kind of maybe bipolar, maybe sociopathic. I mean, he was a guy who didn't greatly take kindly to other people interfering, even if they were supposedly his teachers. And essentially, he ploughed his own furrow, and he came up with this kind of discovery that the land from which this dinosaur had on which it had been living was an island. And he realized that the Balkans back in the Mesozoic period had been kind of archipelago of small islands, and that the existence of these islands had had a kind of crucial influence on the way that these dinosaurs had evolved. So in a way, he's the first paleobiologist at a time when people, when scientists had not thought of situating dinosaurs and other prehistoric creatures within their lived environment. He was the first person to do this. He's an absolutely kind of groundbreaking figure in that sense. And he does it pretty much, you know, isolated figure. He's not really consulting with huge numbers of other specialists. He's absolutely doing his own thing, as he does all his life.
So his professional life was very interesting, and his personal life was also really interesting. And am I right to say that he was homosexual at a time when this must have been quite complicated, you know?
Yes.
That's 100 years ago.
Yes, flamboyantly so and unapologetically so. And he had two great loves. The first was a Croatian count, inevitably, because that's the kind of life he lived. So Count Draskovic, who was a very well-known photographer, and who Nopcsa ran into while he was fossil prospecting out in the wilds of Transylvania. And Draskovic was particularly interested in Albania. And this was a time when it still had that kind of aura that it had for Lord Byron. So you remember the famous kind of paintings of Byron in his Albanian clothing. It was bandit infested. It was a place of myth and kind of ominous rumor, and exactly the kind of place that Nopcsa immediately thought, well, great, this is for me. So he started exploring Albania, and in 1906, when he was right up in the magnificently named Accursed Mountains, he met a shepherd called Bajazed Elmas Doda, who became the second great love of Nopcsa's life. And in fact, I mean, the pair of them stayed together for the rest of their life. Nopcsa employed Doda as his secretary. And together they went all around Albania, where all kinds of glamorous Tintin-style adventures happened. So 1907, the year after Nopcsa had met Bajazed, he got kidnapped by a bandit. And a kind of complicated rigmarole had to be spun whereby Nopcsa cast himself as a spy, had himself taken to the local prison where he then got kind of redeemed by Bajazid's father, all brilliantly kind of complicated and swashbuckling. And in 1913, Nopcsa topped this by proposing that he become king of Albania. He went to the Austro-Hungarian authorities and said, look, just give me 500 men. I can do this. I'll lead this army. It will fall to me, and I will ride in triumph on a splendid white horse. And his plan for ruling as king was that he, despite being gay, he was going to marry a very, very wealthy American heiress for the sake of his subjects and fund the Albanian budget that way. So he had it all set out. Unfortunately, it didn't happen because the First World War intervened. And also the British were not very keen on it, and they pulled strings to ensure after the war that it wouldn't happen.
Still to come on the History Extra podcast.
Because he's just the most dramatically entertaining and flamboyant figure imaginable. I mean, I can't imagine anyone having led a more dramatic or kind of eye-popping life.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/History Extra. Just go to Indeed.com/History Extra right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
And so what did the First World War mean for him?
Well, initially, 1914 is the year that he publishes his revolutionary study of dinosaurs. So for Nopcsa, that's possibly the kind of the biggest event. But what it meant for him was continuing really to serve in Albania. So he goes there a lot, disguised as a shepherd with Badger's Head, and that's a crucial part of his war record. The end of the war is very, very bad news for him. So Transylvania gets ceded to Romania, and so he loses his castle. And although he kind of kicks up enormous fuss about this, and the Hungarian government say, all right, you can have it back, when he goes there, he gets run out of town by his ex-serfs. And so he loses his income and becomes, relatively speaking, impoverished. There's also a predictably dramatic moment where he finds himself trapped by the Hungarian Soviet Republic, which is very kind of short-lived in 1919. And he escapes this in an absolutely classic Nopcsa way by staging the very first hijacking of a plane. So he hijacks this plane and uses it to get out of danger. You know, so that's absolutely the measure of the man. The Hungarian government, they appoint him to run the Geological Institute in Bucharest, and this provides him with an income. But the problem is that it's a desk job. It's kind of 9 to 5. It's very, very not what Nopcsa's really into, and so that all goes wrong as well.
And the end of his life was quite a tragic one, wasn't it? Could you explain what happened to him at the end?
Well, he becomes quite unwell. He gets confined to a wheelchair. On and off. He subjects himself to a radical attempt to restore what he feels is his flagging libido, which involves having a kind of rather brutal style of vasectomy. And once he's had it, Nopcsa says, brilliant, I'm back. Says that it's been an absolute triumph. And maybe this then plays an important role in his decision to chuck in his job in Bucharest and to go off on a motorbike tour with Badger's Head in the sidecar. And so they put on their leathers and go motorbiking off across Europe. And Nopcsa funds this in large part by selling off his priceless collection of dinosaur fossils to the Natural History Museum, where I believe they still are to this day. And off they go. Nopcsa gets increasingly depressed. He's clearly temperamentally very prone to depression. And in 1933, they're in lodgings in Vienna, and Nopcsa just kind of hits the wall. He, you know, the black dog devours him, and so he makes some tea for Badger's Head. He laces it with very strong sleeping powder. Badger's Head drinks it. Nopcsa then kills him, shoots him through the head. And he then writes a suicide note saying that, you know, life is over, and that the reason that he has shot his long-term friend and secretary, as he describes him, is because he didn't want to, he's decided that he's going to shoot himself, and he didn't want to leave Badger's Head kind of sick and penniless. So that's his justification. And then he shoots himself. And he specifies also that no Hungarian academics are to attend his funeral, which is a kind of classic payoff. And essentially, he's such a kind of flamboyant figure, I think, and probably also because he is gay, that he does slightly get written out of the kind of the story of paleontology. But the scale of his achievements are really properly recognized now, you know, and not just in paleontology, and the whole idea of the way that the environment, particularly islands, can have on evolution. I just think it's a kind of wonderful, wonderful story. He's the most astonishing character, you know, this great paleontologist who wanted to become king of Albania and was the first man to hijack a plane.
So, I mean, you've already given some justification for this, but something we're asking all the contributors to this series is, why does he deserve his 15 minutes of fame?
Because he's just the most dramatically entertaining and flamboyant figure imaginable. I mean, I can't imagine anyone having led a more dramatic or kind of eye-popping life.
Now, you're also well known for your work on ancient Rome. How well do you think he'd have fitted in that?
I think he'd have fitted in tremendously well, provided that he was an aristocrat, of course. I don't think he'd have lasted long if he was, you know, a slave or something. He would have run into all kinds of trouble. But as an aristocrat, I think he would have been quite well placed to indulge his enthusiasms.
And do you think it's still possible to admire him despite the hijacking of a plane, despite having killed his lover? I mean, is it still possible to admire someone who's done things like that?
Well, he kills his lover, as he says, as almost as a kind of act of love. You may say, well, you know, he didn't offer Bajazet the opportunity to say he'd rather live. But I think that there's a kind of a quality of the doom that perhaps is actually rather appropriate to Transylvania. You know, the most famous Transylvanian aristocrat, of course, is Count Dracula. And Nopshka is born at around the same time as Bram Stoker is writing that. And actually another link with Dracula is that a fossil that Nopshka never found, but which came from one of these islands that he'd been excavating for dinosaur bones. And all the dinosaurs were dwarfish. So as well as the duck-billed dinosaurs, there was a very dwarfish sauropod. Sauropods are normally the huge ones with the long necks and tails, that are, you know, famously the largest land animals ever to have walked. But on this island, they were tiny. But the dominant predator, it's now realized, was a pterosaur that was the only creature on this island to have become a giant rather than a dwarf. And of course had, you know, rather kind of menacing bat-like wings. So perhaps a kind of slightly Transylvanian quality to that.
Now, in your Twitter thread you wrote about Nopshka a couple of years ago, you said he was pretty much the most stylish paleontologist of all time. Would you be able to describe his kind of look, his kind of get-up?
Well, I think there's something about aristocrats who become obsessed by Albania that lends itself to dandyism. So I mentioned the famous portrait of Byron. Nopshka didn't normally dress up in Albanian kind of traditional folk dress, but he had a real penchant for it. Kind of hats with tassels, shoes with kind of dramatic flourishes, long tunics. Very hard for me to describe, but all I can suggest is that you Google him and go and have a look at this photo, because he really does cut the most tremendous dash.
That was Tom Holland speaking to Rob Attar. Tom is an author, historian, and broadcaster who's written numerous books on the ancient and medieval eras. He's also the co-host with Dominic Sandbrook of the Rest is History podcast. If you're enjoying this series and would like early access to more episodes to hear more historians nominating people who deserve their 15 minutes of fame, go to historyextra.com/15-minutes. Thanks for listening. This podcast was produced by Daniel Kramer-Arden.